Christmas really is a humble event. Of all the ways God could have come, He chose to come the way He did. Quietly, through Mary and Joseph. And when we think of Mary and Joseph, they were just common folk. He was a carpenter. She was a simple girl from a simple community with a simple background. They really could not have been more ordinary. The only thing extraordinary about them was their faith. And I would say, boy, was it extraordinary. I think about God coming into our lives and speaking to our hearts. And if we had the kind of faith to say, Lord, just let it be. Have your way in my life. They would have been known as hardworking and virtuous, godly, deeply committed to one another and to the Lord, non-sophisticated. That would have been a good description. But I find it amazing. Of all the people He could have come through, He chose them. And He still works through people like them. Now, I want you to understand that it wasn't just happenstance. It's not that just any couple would do. The prophecy says that Jesus would come through the lineage of David. And if you notice in your Bible, in the book of Luke, Luke traces Mary's lineage back to David. And Matthew traces Joseph's lineage back to Abraham and David. And so we see that, yes, Jesus was born of a woman. He was the child who had come. He was the Son of Man. Yet through His Father's lineage, He had the right to rule, because that was necessary. Because of His Father in heaven, He came as the Son of God, the one who was sent. And He has come as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And so we see that Christmas was a humble event when we look at the earthly parents of Jesus. When we consider the shepherds, I find it really amazing that God chose to reveal Himself to these rugged, hardy, humble men living in the outdoors who heard a message from angels and then came to worship the Christ and then went about telling others what had happened. And I want you to see that He chose them on purpose. Rather than the high priest of Israel, rather than some temple servant, rather than the Pharisees, you see, He chose these shepherds who would recognize He is the Christ. And they didn't reject Him. We look at the manger. What a place to be born. He was laid in a manger because there was no room for Him. You know, your Bible doesn't even mention an innkeeper. There's nothing in the Bible that says, you know, that they knocked on the door of the inn and they said, sorry, no room. But surely there had to be some person, some man or some woman that had to say, I'm sorry, we're full. I wish we had another room, but we really have no room. And so that person is left unnamed in the Scripture. But I wonder about them. Do you think they ever realized who they said no to? I wonder if they kept up with that that couple and that baby born there in Bethlehem that night. But add it all up. Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the manger, no room. It was a humble event. A lowly event. Somewhat of an obscure event, an unannounced event. Now we know when He comes again, it will be known by the whole world. But not only is Christmas a humble event, I think it's a humbling event. We really need to identify with the people in the Bible and put ourselves there. I think it really does a person good to sit in the quiet of the evening and ponder the meaning of Christmas and the meaning of life and how God still works. When God came into Mary's life, I call that a divine invasion. She had plans. She was engaged to her fiancé, Joseph. They had a plan about getting on with life, and God said, now I'm going to interrupt that and give you a higher, greater, deeper purpose. And I think we're a bit like that. Spiritually, we're somewhat like virgins, somewhat here to have God's seed planted in our heart for Him to give us a higher and deeper and greater purpose. And I just think about how humbling that is to say, God has a plan for me. And can I say, Lord, you know, let it be. Or to identify with the shepherds. To say, oh, I recognize who He is. And I'm going to tell everybody. That's where we get the hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. It's about the shepherds saying, we have found the Christ, and now we're going to tell everyone. Last week we took a look at Herod. Sometimes when God is working in a person's life, we're a bit like him. He got so agitated that he wanted to be sure that the king of the Jews, because he was the king of the Jews, did not make it, that he killed all the boys 2 years old and younger in that area. And I think sometimes when Christmas comes into our lives, we get so agitated that other people pay the price for our instability, for our insecurity. But when I sit and wonder, I go back to that innkeeper. And I think a classic Christmas question is, have you any room for Jesus? And I ask myself, Bob, have you made room for Jesus? And I don't mean in my salvation, because yes, I've yielded my life unto Him. He's made room for me, and I receive Him as my King. But each year He might call me in some fashion, you see, to make more room. A couple of weeks ago, I read a news story. And the fellow in this news story has sort of become my Christmas hero for 2011. And it was simply this, that in Seattle, the manager of a Sears store said an elderly man came into the store with an envelope with $100 in the envelope. And the elderly man sought out the manager of that store, and he gave him the $100 and said, listen, in the 1940s, when I worked here, I stole between $20 and $30. And that's been on my conscience for 60 years. And so here it is with interest. And he turned it in, and the Sears store has it all on videotape, but they refuse to show the tape. They don't want to identify the man. And they chose to use the $100 to help the poor this Christmas. But when I read about that, I thought, you know, Christmas is a good time. It's a good time to get low. It's a good time to get honest. It's a good time to clear your conscience. It's a good time to make amends and deal with the little things that can become big things. It's a good time to renew relationships and exhibit grace and go the second mile and such. Now, if you're like me, sometimes at Christmas I try to change the whole world. And you know, any time I've tried to change the whole world, I get angry. Because I can't change the whole world. But you see, if I start to change the little things in my life that I can do something about, then the door just opens. And Christmas becomes something that it wouldn't be otherwise. Now, today's message is entitled, He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Just think about what that means. It's not hard to understand. But I want you to understand that I didn't make up that title. That's actually Luke 1:52 in your Bible. It was said by Mary in the Magnificat. That she said, you know, as God has come into my life and as Christ is being born, here's what's happening. He's taking the mighty off their thrones. And He's exalting the lowly. So for today, I just want to spend some time talking about the lowly, talking about the humble scene of Christmas and the humbling scene of Christmas. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 with me. We'll begin in verse 26. Luke 1:26. in the sixth month, now that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Now that's next week's message. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a great cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, the mother of my Lord, should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And next we have what is known as the Magnificat. These are Mary's words of magnification of God's will. And she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He's looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He sent away empty. He's helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and his offspring forevermore." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. We're talking about the lowly. I've already said that Mary and Joseph were these humble people. And we see in Mary and her personality and her words this lowly estate. And I need to identify with Mary. You need to identify with Mary. Remember, the angel said to her, "You found favor with God. You found grace in the sight of the Lord." Just like it says in the Old Testament about Noah. As God looked across all of the earth, excuse me, and know that His eyes are wandering to and fro, you see, looking for the righteous. God says, "I've picked you." And He says, "You have found grace. You found favor in God's eyes." And Mary's response was, "Let it be to me." And I'm just asking you, do you realize that God wants to do the same in your life? I want you to think about how you've responded to the voice of the Lord for you. When He has said, "Come," when He has said, "Don't go," when He has said, "Go," when He has said, "Stop," are you able to hear what He says? Or are you on the throne of your own life? Because that's what today is about. Becoming dethroned, that God might exalt you. Let's review Mary's song for just a minute. Here's some things she said. She said, through God's will in my life, my soul magnifies. My spirit rejoices. He has regarded the lowly. Meaning herself, but not just herself, meeting Joseph, meeting their circumstances. God has done a great thing amongst the lowly. He who is mighty has done great things. His mercy is on those who fear Him. He has shown strength. He has scattered the proud. And then she says, He has put down the mighty, He has exalted the lowly. He has put down the mighty, He has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry, He has sent the rich away empty. So let's concentrate on verse 52 for a moment. Could you cut my mic for a minute, Greg? Thanks, brother. All right, you can turn it back up now. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. In that very day, there was that man named Herod who was mighty. I taught you about him last week. Lots of authority. He reigned well, but he was a jealous king and a paranoid king. Remember, he had his own wife executed, his sons executed. He had the citizens of Jerusalem arrested before he died, so that the moment he died, they would slay all of these upstanding citizens, so there would be mourning in Jerusalem. He was high and mighty, but Mary, in her words, says that God has dethroned, the mighty from their thrones. And ultimately, Jesus, was shown to be the real king. But not only did God dethrone Herod through Jesus, but every king who's ever reigned becomes less in comparison to Jesus. And not only did He do that, but every high and mighty person who sits on the throne of his or her own life has been dethroned. You see, God wants to come into your life and get you off of the throne and have Himself on the throne where He belongs, and you're at His feet. And that's what He's done. See, the book of James says that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And He says if you lift yourself up, God will put you down. And if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. And the message is right there at Christmas. And that's what He did through Mary. That's what He did through Jesus. So get this. Through Jesus, God dethrones the mighty and exalts the lowly. So I have a simple question to ask you. And that is, do you want to be mighty or do you want to be lowly? See, lowly is where it's at. That's where you want to be. And so we've seen, that taking a look at the lowly, let's just for a moment look at the scriptural principle of low. It's something we can trace throughout the scripture. When we consider others versus self, I think it's natural for us to think of ourselves first and then others. But it's supernatural to think about others first and then self. And it's God who makes that switch in our lives. That's how His kingdom works. In His kingdom, we're after humility. See, in humility, that's lifted up in the Scripture as what God blesses. In the kingdom, the least, what are they called? The greatest. In the kingdom, the last, what are they called? The first. And so you see, just like God, the Scripture says He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, took on the form of a servant, and came as one of us. In that lowly act, coming in those lowly circumstances, through those lowly people, God's will was done. And so I just want to have you be thinking about getting low. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 3, the Scripture says this, At one time, we, like everyone else, lived gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts. And that's how it is. If we're living by the natural, we just do what we want to do. Whatever we feel like doing, we do. Whatever we want to pursue, we pursue. No added thought to it. But all of that changes when we get low. When we allow God to have His way. And so, for Christmas, I'm asking you to get low. Because God still works amongst the low, the shabby, and the humble. That's what described Mary and Joseph's lives. They were just there. And God gave birth through them, through her. So I want you to see that God spiritually wants to come into your life like He came into theirs. And He'll do that when you get out of your own way, so to speak. When you make room for Jesus. And so let me close by talking about putting low into practice. See, about Jesus, Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33 say this: He will be great. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of His kingdom there'll be no end. And so what I say is, there's already a great one. We don't need another one. Because He's great. He's the one who reigns forever and ever. We don't need somebody else to sit on the throne. He reigns already. And you see, it's His kingdom that will have no end. And so we simply need to put low into practice. How do you do that? Romans chapter 12, verse 16. And the second half of that verse says a lot. But I want to read Romans 12, 14 to 16, and then share with you 16b from several versions of the Bible. Romans 12, 14 to 16 says this. Listen, here's what I'm asking you to do for Christmas. It says this: bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. And then listen to what the Scripture says. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So putting low into practice. Before I share these other versions, I want you to think about this. I think when we talk about associating with the lowly, becoming low, probably there's many of us that think, you know, if those were the circumstances of my life, if I lived in Haiti or if I lived in, you know, some third world country, then I would associate with the lowly. But I want you to think about associating with the lowly here and now. And so the Bible says, as a command, it says, don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Would you identify somebody that you're aware of who is of low position? A friend, a neighbor, a family member, a co-worker. I'm talking about the rejected ones of society. I'm talking about people that perhaps you've tried to help before, but it didn't seem to help. You see, just like Jesus came, equality with God, not being something to be grasped, came down, became one of us, and associated with us in low circumstances. And that's what God did. He took the high and mighty ones off their thrones, and He lifted up the lowly ones. And we want to be low and associate with the lowly ones. Here's what King James says. It says, not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. The New King James says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Romans 12:16 in the English Standard says, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Here's what one paraphrase says. Don't try to act big. Don't try to get in the good graces of important people, but enjoy the company of ordinary folks. So I say, here's a good way to celebrate Christmas. Do what God did and associate with the lowly. These are the least in our relationships, in our community. I'm saying as a way of celebrating Christmas, I'm saying as a way of getting Christmas, I'm saying as a way of letting God have His way in our life, let's fellowship with these people instead of each other. Have you ever noticed at a church gathering, most people gravitate toward the people who are already their friends? The people just like them. Even during our meet and greet time, probably you go talk to people that you just sat in Sunday school with. But we're not, you know, reaching out to the people we don't know or who look different or you know, somebody that may have a circumstance we're not aware of. And that's just our nature. And I would think if we don't intentionally change that, we'll never change that. When I was in junior high school, I was one of the, you know, athletes as I played football. And in our school, the second story of part of our school building was the junior high, and then the downstairs was the senior high. And if you went up one staircase, the first room on the left, that's where the special ed students met. And in those days, they didn't try to mainstream special ed students, but they were all in one room, no matter what grade they were in, basically, and were, you know, tried to teach on a level that each one of them could understand, but it was very obvious they were different. And so we had the, you know, kids there who maybe had a lower IQ, maybe some had, you know, some symptoms of Down syndrome and you know, just appeared to be different. Well, me being the jerk that I was, along with some of my friends, made sure that those people knew they were different. And they became the Speds. And there was one of the fellas, his name was Kenny, who always liked me. Down deep in my heart, I wanted to like them, but I couldn't like them because it wasn't cool. I would say about 10 years ago, some people from our church, through one of the ladies here, we were invited to go over to the City Rescue Mission in Newcastle to put up their Christmas decorations and take some cookies and just have fellowship with the men who were there. We were there 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so, and had done some of that decorating, and I heard, "Bob!" And I turned around. He said, "It's me, Kenny." And I praise the Lord that I had the opportunity to put my arm around him, say, "How you doing?" You know, and let him know that I really did care about him. And I think it's so interesting. I don't remember anything else about that Christmas. I couldn't tell you where we went, what we got, what our decorations were like, anything like that. I just know that day, God gave me a chance. He gave me a chance to make things right with Kenny. And see what I mean? We can't go out and change the whole world. And I don't want you to think about me. I want you to think about you. See, who's the lowly in your life? Who's been rejected? See, at Christmas time, it's about the helpless, the humble, the hungry. And that really makes Christmas if we'll just do what God did. He came and He condescended, became one of us. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for poor people or helpless people or homeless people or hungry people. I'm asking you to go and be amongst them. You've got a week to do it. Just for one week, just from Sunday, December 18th to Sunday, December 25th, would you say, "I'll get low"? Would you get off the throne and get at the feet of Jesus and become like Him? And let Christ work through you in the most, you know, unexpected ways in the lives of the most unexpected people. And I'm telling you, Christmas will be completely different. Remember the words of the message from God to Mary? To the angel, He said, "You have found favor with God." Well, you know what? Those words are for us, too. Another word for favor is grace. And God says to you, "When I sent my Son, it's because of my grace my favor. I love you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His message of grace and favor was delivered to us through His Son, not through an angel. Romans 5 says this, but where sin increased, favor increased all the more. Grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also favor might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God said to Mary, and He says to you, you have my favor upon you. Mary said to God, let it be. Let it be to me as you have said, O Lord. And I just want you to ask yourself, you know, what's my response been to God? What have I told Him when He's come down into my life, taken me off the throne, wants to lift me up? Are you able to say, Lord, have your way? Let it be. So let's just go back to that innkeeper who doesn't exist. Might have been a man, might have been late, might have been their kid. Just go tell those people we're full. There's no room. Who knows? But I'm just asking you to be the doorkeeper of your own life. And now Jesus is knocking. And I simply would ask you to consider, have you made room for Jesus? Let's pray. Almighty Father, we come before You this day and we thank You for the wonderful love that is ours through You. And we get very concerned about self and doing it right and saying it right and providing all that can be provided. But Father, year after year we find that we seem to be spinning our wheels and it all ends up the same. I just pray for each person here, Father. First of all, that if any are unsaved and do not know You, that they would today say, I'm getting off the throne. I've been high and mighty. I've been exalting myself. I'm getting down so that I can come to the Lord and be lowly, that He might lift me up. And then, Father, for each one of us here, whether we do it with others knowing or do it secretly, I pray that You would give everybody here a Christmas assignment. That they, Father, might condescend. And not just give or write a check or, you know, send something off in the mail, but they might go amongst the lowly in one way or another. Whether it's sharing a cup of coffee or a lunch or sitting down having a good talk or playing a game or visiting in a home or picking that person up and giving them a ride or taking them shopping. Father, I just pray that somehow You would use each one of us to be like Jesus in the lives of other people. It's our desire, Father, to get low and to remain low. Might You have Your way.